Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf, using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
Good morning from the WVIK newsroom. I'm Joseph Leahy. Opposition continues against plans for a new cannabis dispensary and gas station development adjacent to the Milan Bottoms Nature Preserve. Local conservationists held another roost-in on Wednesday, calling for the Rock Island City Council to delay expanding a tax increment financing district into the nature preserve. The forest and wetland area is considered the largest nocturnal nesting site for bald eagles in the lower 48 states. Retired biologist Kelly McKay says support for protecting the habitat has grown since the last city council meeting.
The council chambers is packed. The ante room next to the council chambers is packed. There are people standing downstairs waiting to get upstairs. That's, I think, thrown them a little bit. And I hope it is. I hope it opens up their eyes that maybe this isn't such a good idea.
Another Milan Bottoms roost-in is scheduled for Monday ahead of the Rock Island City Council's meeting, although developers are still expecting to break ground by mid-April. A nonprofit that works with immigrants and refugees to help them resettle in Iowa says it will continue its work despite the loss of federal funding. Lutheran Services in Iowa says about one-third of the 100 employees who assisted immigrants and refugees have been impacted. Some were laid off last month at offices in Des Moines, Waterloo, and Sioux City. Nick Wirtz is the Director of Immigration and Refugee Community Services for LSI.
Well documented that even though we're welcoming people here for humanitarian reasons, they are significant net contributors to our state and local economy. Not only does it not make humanitarian sense, but it also doesn't make any economic sense for us to not continue to invite people here that want to build a new life and contribute to our communities.
He says private donations will keep some staff members on through the end of this month. After the federal government cut funding in January, it still owed LSI $1.5 million in back payments. Wirtz says about $400,000 of that is still outstanding. Leaders of community mental health centers in Iowa say that they're concerned about a bill that would route certain federal funding to a state agency before it reaches them. Iowa Public Radio's Katerina Sostarek has details.
Iowa's community mental health centers have automatically gotten 70%, or about $5 million per year, of a block grant from the federal government. Now, Governor Kim Reynolds' administration wants to bring that money into the State Department of Health and Human Services first, and then distribute it to providers as Iowa implements a new behavioral health system. Flora Schmidt is executive director of the Iowa Behavioral Health Association. She's asking lawmakers to delay that change for at least a year because providers don't know how that money will be distributed.
Give these providers some certainty. Their budgets start July 1st, and at this point, they don't know what funding is going to be available to them.
The state health department's chief financial officer says community mental health centers should get the same amount of federal block grant funding in the next fiscal year that they've gotten in the past. I'm Katerina Sostarek, IPR News.
The Midwest branch of the Anti-Defamation League says hate crimes and incidents have skyrocketed in recent years across Illinois. The group released a report Wednesday that found over 1,000 reported hate incidents in the state and defined a majority of them as white supremacist propaganda. David Goldenberg heads the Midwest branch and says there's a misconception that a state like Illinois is immune to hate against people of color, Jewish, and Muslim communities.
There is no single narrative that tells the story of extremism and hate in Illinois. Instead, the impact is widespread and it touches many communities.
The group met with state lawmakers Wednesday, hoping to advance the Neighborhood Freedom from Intimidation Act. It would allow people to sue over distributing intentionally threatening leaflets or flyers. And the Quad Cities River Bandits are 4-1 for the season so far after shutting out the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers last night 1-0. They play again tonight in downtown Davenport starting at 6:30. This is WVIK News.